Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Frank Pizor. So without further ado, here he is.
All right. Well, if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And today is normally Recommitment Sunday. And on Recommitment Sundays, it's usually us looking in the past, what's happened this year, and then looking to the future, what's going to happen next year. And that's part of what we want to do today is to look behind us and look in front of us as well. I want to share one thing, first of all, and it's this, is that one of my favorite Christian books is a book written by Watchman Nee, N-E-E, and it's entitled Sit, Walk, Stand. And it's a great short book. It's like 70 pages long. Illustrations are great. I really like the fact that he takes Ephesians and he puts it into three different parts. What does the book of Ephesians look like summarized? This is the book to get if you want to understand it. It is very clear. It's very simple. And I just absolutely love the book. I would encourage you to get it. I think it's like $7 on Amazon. And it's a really good read. I've read it several times in my life. But he breaks it into three different parts. The first part is sit. And in the first three chapters of Ephesians, what Paul does is say, this is who you, church at Ephesus, are in Christ. This is who you are. This is who you need to be. And so he lays this foundation of sit first. Sit in Christ first. Before you do anything else, because I think most of us, when we first become a Christian, the people who share this faith with us and we believe in that faith often tell us, now here's the things you have to do. You have to do this, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. But Paul, I think, would do it differently, and he would say, here's the first thing you need to do, and it's just be. Be in Christ. So when you're reading Ephesians in the first chapter, it's like a constant repetition of in Christ, you're in Christ, you're in Christ, you're in Christ. And he gets this big crescendo in Ephesians chapter 2, and he says, you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. You're in Christ. You are in him so much so, in union, connection with him, that where he is now is where you are as well. So for three chapters, what you see is be, be, be. And then he gets to the next thing, which is walk. Ephesians 4:1, he says, walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling in God. In other words, this is who you are. You say that you are a follower of Jesus. You are in Christ. And after all that of just being with him, being filled with him now, and now only, can you begin to walk? Walk worthy, walking away. And so for the chapters 4, 5, and half of 6, Paul is going to tell the Ephesians, this is how you're supposed to live. Thank you. Thank you. This is how you're supposed to live. Do these things. And we're going to see how we're supposed to live in a minute. And then he says, after that, stand. You sit. You walk, and now you stand firm. And this talks about spiritual warfare. Pastor Dave gave a message on that a couple months ago. If you want to look into that, feel free to look back in that. So with all of this in mind, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And I'm going to read through the verses, and you're going to notice something different or unique about them. You're going to see some of it is in regular writing, as you can tell in the first one. You're going to see others in what we'll call italicized writing. And then you're going to see italicized writing with underlining. Let me explain this to you. This is what I call the multiverse. In other words, what I've done is I've multiversed, used several versions. I've used the English Standard Version, which is the regular writing. I've used the Contemporary English Version, which is the italics. And then I'm not writing scripture, so please don't misunderstand. I put a little bit of an explanation, POFO. So if you see something in italics and underlined, that's me clarifying what has just been said. Sound good? So please don't go tell those who aren't here, he's writing the word of God while you're not here. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just clarifying, okay? All right, so let's read this way. And I'm going to read from over there. It says this, verse 17. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk or live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. In other words, stop living like godless people, unbelievers. Well, they don't know any better. Verse 18. Their minds are in the dark. Remember, they don't know any better. And they are stubborn and ignorant and have missed out on the life that comes from God. They no longer have any feelings about what is right. In other words, they are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Verse 19. They have become callous, remember, hard-hearted, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. They do all kinds of indecent things. Verse 20 and 21. But this isn't what you were taught about Jesus Christ, nor is it the way you learned Christ. He is the truth, and you heard about him and learned about him. Verse 22. You were told that your foolish desires will destroy you and that you must give up your old way of life with all of its bad habits. In other words, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires about him and learned about him. Verse 23. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking. Renew your mind and take every thought captive and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And finally, verse 24, and let the Spirit make you into a new person as you put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, you were created to be like God, and so you must please him and truly be holy. Can we just take a moment and just bow our heads? I know that was a lot to read, but hopefully it provides you with a comparison and a contrast of how we are supposed to follow after Jesus. Father, I pray that you would silence all the voices that speak to us, perhaps our own, even mine, and be sensitive to hearing yours. What is it that you would say to us, not just for today, not just looking behind, not just looking forward, but just looking to live with you on a daily basis, living with you, walking with you, trying to be like you in the imperfection of our hearts. Amen. So after reading those verses, what is God telling us through Paul? I think clearly he's saying there are two ways in which you can live. One, you can live in the darkness of your hearts. You can just keep living the way that you've always lived. Doesn't matter, just live that way. Or you can just live for Christ. Moment by moment, dependence on Christ. Now, implicitly, I think there's a third way, and that third way is you can do both. Now, you really can't do both. In our world, we see the world as gray, so there's a lot of grays. Some people see it this way, other people see it that way, who's right, who's wrong. Does God still use spiritual gifts today? Does he not use? So that stuff is sort of gray, but in God's eyes, it's pretty black and white. And I think what Paul is trying to say is, I want to clarify for you, people in Ephesus, there really is two ways to live. You either follow and obey, or you don't, and live like you used to live. And what he's saying is, if you say, I follow Christ, then this is the way that you need to live. You need to put off the old self and put on the new person created in Christ. So why does he tell us this? Now, as we're looking at these verses, if you go here, into verse 22, it says this. You were told that your foolish desires will destroy you and that you must give up your old way of life with all of its bad habits. In other words, and I shouted this because it's in bold, but put off your old self. In other words, as you will see here, can you flip to the next slide, James? Stop, put off, and then we have something that follows after that. And it says this: stop living the old sinful way. Sin is serious and has consequences. Now take that as a thought for a minute. What Paul's saying is stop. Now when I say that, I think of that, though. What is that song, Stop in the Name of Love? Like, stop in the name, you know what I mean? But he's saying stop. It's like if you have children, and sometimes when they run wild in parking lots or when they're about to cross the street and they didn't look at a car, you don't say, can you stop, please? No, we say, stop. And immediately, the child stops, hopefully. And that's what Paul, I believe, is saying. In a continuous way, he's saying, stop living for yourself. Put off the old selfish ways of living, because sin is serious and it has consequences. If you choose to continue to live for yourself, you're saying a lot. What you're speaking is volumes of is that I do not want to walk in a way that is worthy of my calling. I do not want to follow God as he wants me to follow God. I'm going to decide what the terms are on how I will follow God. And he must be satisfied with that. Paul says no. It's put off because sin is serious and it has consequences. First of all, how is it serious? Why are you telling this, Paul? I think he tells us sin is serious and has consequences because it breaks our fellowship with God. 1 John 1, 5 and 6 says this. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. It's a simple message. What John is doing is repeating what Paul says, but in different words. In other words, if you say, I follow Jesus, and yet you continue to live for yourself, both Paul and John would say, you're lying. You're living the old way. You have broken fellowship with God. You see, God is light, and there is no darkness in him. And so if you continue to walk in darkness, and you're okay with that, what God would say through Paul and John is, I'm not okay with that. You cannot continue to live like that. You have broken fellowship. And one of the reasons that Jesus came was to restore fellowship between us and God the Father, to bring us into a union in Christ. And so when we say, hey, I will live the way I want to live, I will live in sin, I will do whatever I want to do, I don't have to obey God, God would say, no, that is not the way it works. Stop. Put off the old self. Get rid of the sinful desires and follow after me, which leads to life. So it breaks our fellowship with God. The second consequence is this: it reflects on God. Romans chapter 2, verse 24 says this: no wonder the scriptures say the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. And what Paul's writing there is Romans, he's saying to the Jewish people, you look at these unbelieving pagans and you rebuke them for the evil that they do, and yet you do the same thing. And so when they look at us doing the same thing that they're doing, they say, why should I follow Jesus? There's no difference between you and me. Paul is saying, walk worthy, walk differently, be different from those who are around you. I think we've got an older crowd here. I want to share some advice that I received from a gentleman who wasn't a Christian when I was a young Christian about women. So now remember, this is his advice. I do not believe this, but this is what he said. He said, women are like TVs. You buy one, you check it out, see what it's like. If you like it, you can keep it. If you don't like it, you take it back, get a refund, and get another one. Great advice, right? Advice to live by? Okay, thank you for laughing, because it is horrible advice. It's terrible advice. What he was telling me to do was, it doesn't matter how you live. Do whatever you want. God doesn't care. God wants you to be happy. And in being happy, you have to find the right woman, and you have to make sure that she fits you. And that is a selfish way of living. It's bad advice. But here's the thing, the consequences of sin, it reflects on God. If I took his advice, what I would be saying is this: God, purity doesn't matter to you. It doesn't. Impurity is what I want to do, because I can be forgiven. And if I can be forgiven, why can't I do whatever I want? And yet, John would say, if you live like that, then you're lying. You don't know God. If you can practice sin and think that it's no big deal and that there are no consequences and it's not serious, you're missing what God is calling you to in order to live. And then it reflects on God. So I have this question for us. Can you think of someone in your life who really doesn't like you in your faith? Who could look at you and say, you know, as a Christian, I feel that whenever I'm around you, I feel judged by you. You're kind of judgy. Can you imagine if while they're feeling that, they're always examining your life and looking at you and wondering, how are you living? Does God really matter to you? And if you can say it, like if I took that advice, if I'm a young adult and I took that advice, no offense to the young adults, but you're all standing there and you're in my vision, but if I'm a young adult, and it's like, you know, do whatever you want with people. Just try them on like you try TVs or clothes or what have you. Just do it that way. And people say, how are you telling me about this Jesus who is holy, who calls us to purity, and yet that's what you're living in? It reflects on God. So Paul was telling the Roman Jews, listen, you can't live like this. You can't call people out and do something similar, although you think it's not as serious, because it blasphemes God. Because people say, if that's what your faith is like, I don't want it, because you're no different than me. In fact, you're a hypocrite, because I'm okay with living like this. You seem not to be, and yet you still live like it. So this God that you follow, not worth following at all. And we don't walk worthy of this calling that God has placed upon us. Because sin is serious. It breaks our fellowship with God. It reflects ultimately on who God is. Because if people can say, that's your God, that's how you live, then who really is God? Does it really matter if we continue to live in sin and practice sin and go, okay, sin is okay? Then what's the difference? We don't really need Jesus. We can just at the end of our lives say, forgive me, and be forgiven and go on our way. I think the Father, John and Paul would say, no, that's a lie. But there's a third purpose, and it's or a third consequence, and it's this. It is contrary to God's purpose in our lives. Romans 8:29 says this. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like our pastor. Amen? See, some of you are smiling because that's not what it says, right? Because it says to be like his son. Not like your pastor or your small group leader or whoever. But God has a purpose for your life. And he wants to make you into the image of Jesus. In fact, in Ephesians 5 verse 1, Paul is going to say this as it reads there. Therefore, be imitators of God. The purpose of our lives, beyond whether we should be a doctor or a nurse or a pastor or a missionary or a store owner or an entrepreneur or a doctor or whatever, your purpose is to be like Jesus. And Jesus was pure. Jesus was holy. We are to live like him. God has created us to be into the image of his son. To be just like him. That is your purpose. Now, you can also hear right now above us the dancing raindrops upon our roof. Correct? Can you hear it? Everybody hears it? How many of you brought an umbrella today? What did you do with the umbrella? Did you carry it in the rain? Hey, I got this nice umbrella, and I'm just going to carry it on my side, and I'm going to walk in because, look, I have an umbrella. You got soaked. But you had an umbrella. That's beautiful. Or did you open said umbrella and then turn it upside down and say, let me see how much water I can catch before I get into the service? Anybody do that today? Why not? Come on, man. Really? Nobody had, none of you are that fun? No, that sounds crazy. The umbrella is to protect us from getting wet. And so we have this umbrella. Its purpose is to protect us from getting wet. To use it for anything else does not fulfill its purpose. Unless, of course, it's some kind of spy movie and it's a knife or a gun or something else. But in reality, the umbrella has a purpose, to keep us from getting wet. To use it any other way doesn't make sense. And so what the Father is saying, what Paul is saying, what John is saying, your purpose in life is to be like Jesus. To live any other way does not make sense. It does not make sense. It does not fulfill God's purpose for you. So what does he tell us? He says, stop. Stop. Put off your old way of living. Put off the selfishness. Don't do it. Because there are consequences. It breaks your fellowship with God. It reflects on God. And ultimately goes contrary to the purpose that God has for your life. So, Paul, what do? We're supposed to stop. Well, the next thing he says is this. Start! I don't know how you do that. I don't know. Maybe I need a flag like they do for the Formula One races or whatever. And like, start your engines, and you boom, and you flip the flag, and everybody starts. But there's an emphasis of put off and then put on. Not just put off, put on. It's like put off and put on. Now, stop doing this, get rid of this stuff, and start doing something else. Living differently. Why? Well, there's a reason. Because holiness is mandatory and leads to life. Holiness is mandatory. It's not optional. See, when Paul is using the verbs here, he's saying continuous action. Don't stop putting off. Keep putting off. Just keep put off. And now put on and keep putting on and keep putting on and keep putting on for the rest of your life. Always be active in putting off and putting on. Stop. Start. Stop. Start. Stop living for yourself. Start living for him. Why? Because it leads to fellowship with God. Go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. What is John saying? Listen. Do you feel in your life right now you are not experiencing the presence of God? Do you sit there and wonder, where is God? Why does my life feel so empty? Why is he so absent? John might say, examine your life. If you're walking in darkness, you've broken fellowship with God. He will not be near. He's ready to be near, but he will not draw near because you have said, God, I'll not listen to you. But he says, the moment you say, I have walked in darkness, I have sinned, I have done wrong, he is there. So John would say, if you want to experience the presence of God, if you want to walk in fellowship with God and with each other, walk in holiness. Put off the old self. Put on the new creation, the new way of living, and experience his presence. But there's a second benefit, and it's this. It reflects on God. The way you live reflects on God. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God who sees when he judges the world. In other words, when people see you and they wonder, why do you keep living like that? Don't you see what these people are saying about you? Don't you see what these people are doing? And yet you still return love for hate? You take their anger and give patience? How do you do that? It reflects on God. Why? Because holiness is mandatory and it leads to life. Because what is happening here, what Peter is saying is this, people are watching you. Whether you realize it or not, if you proclaim the name of Jesus anywhere you go, it is almost a guarantee that people will see, do you really mean it? I'm going to watch how you live. Now, my two youngest are at retreat, so I won't tell you which one of them was. But one of them suggested that I be a little shady in some of my business dealings because it was only a couple bucks. What's the big deal, right? It's just a couple bucks. It's a big company. Doesn't make any difference. And I was like, no, homie, don't play that game. Okay, I didn't really say that, but it sounded cool at the moment, right? I said, no, we don't do that. Because it's a matter of integrity. What would it be like if you owned a business and everyone kind of skimmed a couple bucks off so that your profits were a little bit less? That adds up. But we want to walk in integrity because it reflects on God. How you live says a lot about what you believe about God and who He is. Because if you sit there and say, I love Jesus, and Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me, then you'll obey him. But if you don't obey him, what you're really saying with your heart is, I really don't love you, I don't trust you, and I'm going to do things my way. Even if you raise your hands during worship, say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. He sees our hearts. It's kind of what he said to the Jews. With your lips, you honor me. With your hearts, you do not. See, it reflects on God. How you live, if you walk in integrity, reflects on who he is and what he's done in your life. And the last one is this. It fulfills the purpose, God's purpose for our lives. Again, Romans 8. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. And Ephesians 1, therefore be imitators of God. Now, I wanted to do something. What's the purpose of a chair? Anybody. I mean, if it doesn't sound like the right answer, we'll make it a right answer. What's the purpose of a chair? Sit down and be comfortable. So what I was going to do at the put-off part, I was going to have everyone stand. So why don't we try this anyway? Let's all stand. And we're just going to stand here for the next 10 minutes, knowing that that chair has a purpose, but we're not going to let that chair fulfill its purpose because I just want you to stand. I've got nothing else to do. We've got like a half hour to go before the season's done. So let's just all stand here for a half hour while I finish my introduction and go on with the rest of the sermon. How many of you with me? Amen? Oh, your chair right now is saying, I want to do my purpose. So I'm going to let you fulfill the chair's purpose and you may sit. We're not going to stand. The point behind that simple exercise is God has a purpose for you, which is to live for him, and it leads to life. Do you want to experience God's presence? Do you want to experience fellowship with others? Do you want others to experience God's presence? Do you want to fulfill your purpose? Then stop. Put off living for yourself and start. Put on living for Jesus, walking in holiness and obedience. There's no other way to live. You can't go back and forth between the two like it's no big deal. Like one day I will, one day I won't. Really, because what you're saying is one day I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to. The other day I feel like it, so I will. No, the call in Scripture, God's Word, the Bible says it is either or. Against, for. Disobedient and rebellious, obedient, surrendered. Two ways to live. So let me finish with this. I know you're all shocked, but I'm actually going to end it with this. I'm going to ask you if we can get to the application part here, if you can read that. Two things I'm going to ask you to do, and we're going to take a little bit of time reflection. It's this. Number one thing I want to stop and put off this year, meaning 2026. You might be thinking, oh, 2025, I only got to do this for 4 days, and I'm out of here, or 3 days. No, for 2026. And then one thing I want to start and put on this year. I'm going to share mine, then we'll take a few minutes. So the first thing I want to do is, if you haven't heard, I'm in what they call a recovery group, a 12-step kind of group. Again, I will say it is not, I'm not having an affair. I'm not viewing pornography. I'm not addicted to drugs. I'm not addicted to alcohol. All that stuff. My issue, my problem, my need for recovery was anger. Was anger. Because as I've entered into this program and listening to the stories of the other guys, the more I reflect on anger, the angrier I get because I'm realizing now I know why I'm angry. I understand completely. I'm angry because I feel powerless, I feel helpless, and I feel hopeless. There are things I want to do and say, and I can't because of who I am. And that makes me angry, really angry. And as I'm thinking about my anger, suddenly a thought came to me, which is, you don't struggle with anger. You struggle with bitterness. The problem is not anger. The problem is bitterness. So what I want to stop this year, and I want to work really hard on this, is I want to stop on feeding or fertilizing that root of bitterness. It's got to go. It's got to stop. Jesus would say, listen, you can be angry when people sin against other people and you want to step in and make that right. But if you're just angry because you got hurt, that needs to stop. Put it off. Get rid of it. Now, that's my issue. I don't know what yours is. I know that my issue of anger now slash bitterness slips into gluttony. When I feel powerless, I feel I gain power by eating. So I eat. It has consequences. Sin is serious and has consequences. It's got to be put off. To help me put that off, I decided to put on written prayers. Whether I write them out or I get a book or I just recite prayers that are in Scripture or the Lord's Prayer or whatever it is, but take written prayers and begin to actually say them. Because again, when I pray, I have a hard time focusing. My mind is all over the place. Like that one movie where it talks about the dog, they'll be thinking about something, see a squirrel, squirrel, la la, squirrel, squirrel. That's how I pray. It's really hard. I see squirrels all over the place when I pray. When I write out my prayers, it's a world of difference. When I read the prayers that I'm actually writing out or have somebody else has written out, it helps me to focus. So I want to stop. I want to put off that root of bitterness. Why? Because when I'm bitter and it resounds in my heart, it breaks fellowship with God. I'm not walking with him anymore. It reflects on God because rather than being like God, which is my purpose, giving compassion, giving kindness, giving love, and giving respect, I want revenge. Jesus is not like that. That has consequences. It affects my relationships. Clearly affects my relationships. Stop, put it off. But put on Christ. You are a new creation. What I like about this 12-step group is they stand up and they say, hi, my name is Frank. I am a new creation in Christ. So I'm going to put on something. And I'm going to put on a prayer life that is written out, even if it's written by somebody else, so that I can focus on him, that I might maintain this fellowship with him, so that when people can see what I'm responding like, they can say, I want that God that you have because you're different. And it helps us fulfill our purpose, which is to be more like Jesus. Let's bow our heads. You can pull out your phone if you want. Because I want to get to a place where what you can actually do is today, in one word or a short phrase, I want to put off blank, whatever it is for you, and I want to put on blank, whatever it is for you. So I want to give us about 1 minute just to think through that. Don't do this lightly. If what you write now changes 2 hours from now, that is absolutely cool. Because God has a purpose for us. And that is holiness. Not perfection. That's the beauty of 1 John because it talks about forgiveness of sin. When you blow it, confess it. Restore the fellowship. But admit it. Do not practice continually sin. To continually practice sin blasphemes me. It breaks fellowship with us. You're not living according to the purpose that I want you to live. You're missing out. Mind you, it requires surrender. It requires death. Death to self. Death to desire. Death to the things that we think that we deserve. And God says, no. You don't need that. You need me. Take my hand in fellowship. Put off sin. Put on righteousness. Walk with me. Choose life over death. Choose freedom over slavery. Choose light over darkness. But as Joshua would say, today, choose whom you will serve. Yourself or Jesus. No in between, because I see black and white, not gray. no in between, for yourself or for me. Now, if you want to pull out, before we sing a few songs, your phone, go to the notes section, or if you have one of those Android thingies or Samsung, Google Pixel, whatever, phones that aren't real. And just in the notes section, and write, I want to put off this, and I want to put on this. I'm going to encourage you to do that now. Don't do it later. And if you don't really have anything, or you're kind of shaken between what I should do and shouldn't do, that's okay too. Just this day, look at yourself and ask, what do I need to put off and what do I need to put on? We'll give you about 30 seconds to do that, and then we'll head off into singing. As I'm wrapping up, sorry, I can't see you. Bye-bye. Better. As I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, there's got to be someone out there thinking, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. And there's no way that God can forgive me. And my answer to that is, the answer that God I think would give is, quite simply, then you must be greater than me. Which we all know is a lie. Whatever you have done, as great and grand and as terrible as it may actually be, and the consequences that follow after all that, which I cannot protect you from, God would say, come to me and live, rather than continue to walk in deadness of heart and mind. So whatever it is, today, come to him and receive life and forgiveness in him. Road may be difficult moving forward. It may not be easy, because sin is serious and it has consequences even when forgiveness has been given and received. But come anyway. So my prayer and benediction is this: may you find God to be greater than you. May you come to find that he is greater than even what you can think or imagine. And may you find mercy and grace in Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.